Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life. And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Tap by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
All I know is, you mess with me, you got problems.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome in the final hour here on a Football Friday. Dirt out today, so apologies to everybody that hates me. Had a couple people text, I hate you. You know what? That's going to be life sometimes. I don't know what to do about that. Change your face. Well, sometimes you can't change your face. It's just your face. We have a lot we're going to get to. We got Sprague the Line, so you can text your Sprague the Line sponsors at 55305. The Better You Today text line. We'll get to Kevin Todd coming up at 2:30. But I want to talk about the Army-Navy game. Dirt and I wanted to jump into this today, and unfortunately, he is not here, so We push forward, and we move along, and we talk about it anyway with our guy, the sideline reporter for Army football, Tony. What is it? So Tony, what? How do you say your last name? I didn't hear my producer, and I don't want to say it wrong.
Marino. It's like the Miami Dolphin, okay. But I'm M.O.
Great.
Say it, Marino.
I've been saying it that way the whole show. I didn't want to get it wrong with you on the line now. First of all, thank you for joining us here in Portland, man. I know you're busy. Just can you do me a big favor? I love watching this game. I think a lot of our listeners do. Paint a picture with your words of what it's like on a game day at Army Navy.
You know, here's what I'll say to you. So this is going to be my 20th game this year covering the game. This is my ninth season here as the sideline reporter. I can tell you that every year when I cover this game and they have the flyover, the hair on the back of my neck sticks up. Every single year, I know it's coming. After the first one, I knew it was coming. That is what the excitement is. Just walking on the field in the pregame. You know, I get down there probably about an hour and a half before kickoff that I go down to the field just to kind of take my perch and take my walk around. And just at that point, there's electricity there. And just to describe it, and I know you guys have the rivalries out there, Oregon State, of course, and there's these other rivalries, and I've been in baseball stadium for Yankees, Red Sox in a game 7. It's so much different because every guy on that field, and I'm stealing somebody's quote here, but every guy on that field is willing to die for everybody on the field and everybody in the stands. And that's what they signed up for. And that's what truly makes it amazing.
Yeah, you just gave me goosebumps saying that right there. Tony Marino, the sideline reporter for Army, is joining us now, kind of just previewing this matchup. You know, there's so much that goes into a rivalry game. As you mentioned, we have them out here. And, you know, some years they can be duds. And other years you get surprise games if a team's not very good. Are we going to have that this year, in your opinion? Army is just having a sensational season. They almost won that Oklahoma game. I believe they're 9-2 on the year. And Navy's not very good. Navy has not had a good season. I know Army's won the last two matchups, but they've been very close. And how are you feeling about this year's?
You know, I expect another close game. I mean, last year, you think about it, if Mooring's field goal doesn't kick to the left a little bit, Navy's walking off there. And for the most part, Navy had, you know, had played at least close, if not, you know, 60-40. I think you could say that it was in favor of Navy in that game as far as the play. And I know Navy's record shows 3-9 this year, and the old adage, old cliche, you know, they'll throw the records out the window. But I do expect a close game here. I mean, you even look down the stretch. You know, if you want to point to the negatives of Army, you look at their last, you know, their games against FCS opponents, maybe closer than people thought they should be, even though Colgate's a very good team, obviously moving on in the FCS playoffs. You know, Lafayette, they didn't win by what they were supposed to win by, so maybe it's been a while. You're looking for a couple of chinks in the armor. So if you're going that route, I think we're going to see a close game. Each team wants to possess the football. Each team wants to defensively, they're going to try and turn each other over. And if none of that happens, you're going to be staring at a close game with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Is it going to snow for this one? Because I remember that snow game, and it just, as much as I love what that game means and how emotional it is for so many people, I feel like it's almost more fitting if there's snow going on.
Now, the bad news is there won't be any snow this year. At least that's what the forecasters say. But you know about the weather forecasters. The best ones in the business are like baseball players. They're highest paid if they get it right 30% of the time. But they're not calling for any snow tomorrow. Last year was just, as you said, it was awesome. The white 10th Mountain Division unis for the Black Knights, and even that metallic blue for Navy, it was picture perfect, if you will. But no snow tomorrow. The temperatures will be probably around, you know, game time will be in the mid to low 30s. And then as we get on to the late in the game, I'm guessing the temperature will be probably under 30 degrees. We're playing, but they're calling for sunny skies.
Yeah. Tony Marino, the sideline reporter for Army, is our guest. He is live in Philly. They're playing at Lincoln Financial Field, Army-Navy, playing for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. We'll see what happens. This is the 119th meeting between these two programs. And I'm just so fascinated by the history of rivalries, and then you add the fact that it's Navy and it's Army and what that means for our country. You know, with something like this, you mentioned about the flyover, how you still get goosebumps. Is that your favorite part of it, or how much do you enjoy the end when they start singing and everybody is just with each other? I mean, what is it like for somebody like yourself who is, you're seeing it, you're down there on the field. Is the beginning the best time for you? Do you enjoy the end? How do you view it that way?
I think the best time for me personally is that pregame when the parachuters are coming in and the pageantry that takes place before the game. I mean, I've been in the stadium with the presidents there. George W. Bush was in for when he was there, was there for Barack Obama when we were down in D.C. a few years ago. President Trump was there this was, I think, his president-elect year. So that was the year that we broke the streak in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And the pageantry and the honor that's in this, you know, just the dignitaries that are in the stadium. That to me, it's all of that that's the favorite part. But the flyover, I think if I either get it to one moment, that's the moment because it still gets me.
Well, who's responsible? I've always been curious about this because you've seen the last few years they come out and they have these kind of different jerseys and helmets specifically for this game. Who are the people responsible coming up with these concepts? I saw Army's unis and they are badass, black and red coming out and honoring their history. Who comes up with the concepts of all that?
So there is I'll give you a couple names because I know that they have a say in them. Nick Dieterman, who's the equipment manager for Army, he's just awesome. I know that he has something to do with it. There's Mike Richards, who also works in the athletic department. He has something to do with, there's a lot of names, but 1st Infantry Division is who they're honoring this year. Last year was the 10th Mountain Division, and they work with Nike. So Nike's got, you know, probably the best designers in the world. And on the Navy side, they actually work with Under Armour. So it's a little bit of a competition every year. But as you know, I'm a little biased. I think Army's kicked some butt the past couple of years, not only in the game, but also with the uniforms. They are awesome this year. In fact, it was nice. They sent me one of these pullovers with the black line representing the 1st Infantry Division. I arrived at my house on Monday. I was like a little, ripping open that package like a little kid on Christmas morning. It's awesome.
Well, how emotional too, Tony, what's it like? You know, you mentioned the pregame festivities. How emotional are the players? You know, walking back and forth between seeing the midshipmen getting ready in the Black Knights. How emotional or charged up are they in this one versus what you see throughout the whole season?
There's definitely a different look to them. There's an intensity out there, and that's with the Army side, it's an intensity that comes from their coach, Jeff Monk, and they're more intense under him than I've seen in previous coaches, and it's an intensity just to make sure that they're doing everything. They want to be perfect out there in a pregame, and you can see that intensity in their eye. And what I'll tell you is when you really see the true meaning is when you sit there and you watch at the end of the game, when all the emotion has been let out as far as the intensity emotion, and then you see the tears going down the face on the winning side and the losing side as they're singing their alma mater. I mean, that is the level of intensity that they've been at since they played their last regular season game until the clock strikes zero on this Army-Navy game, and it all lets out, and the emotion just comes pouring down, and that's a tremendous sight to see as well. And that's one that I remember from my first game, which was at the Old Vet here in Philly, was at the end of that game, and just the emotion from both sides, and watching the tears run down the faces of both players, and it's truly, you know, special to watch.
Yeah, I was reading that. I'll get you out here on this one, Tony. I was reading that you guys are going to be doing this game, I believe, in 2021 at MetLife Stadium. So you'll be moving away from Philly. Would you like it to stay in one location? Do you think it's better, or does it not matter? You just move it wherever you go. I know the rivalry is never going to change what it is, but just in terms of the venue, of what it means to be in one place versus maybe traveling to a couple different stadiums here and there throughout the years.
You know, I definitely, Philly's my favorite. I didn't mind going to Baltimore, especially when we broke the streak 2 years ago. MetLife to me is going to be different. Now, I did have the chance to cover at the old Giants Stadium. That might have been maybe my third or fourth year. I forget the last time we played there. I don't have it in front of me. But at the old Giants Stadium. And it was to me, it wasn't the same feeling. So it's going to be interesting in 2021 to go back. You know, for me, I'll be sleeping in my own bed that night. So I won't be hanging out in the city and get that same vibe to it. I like it in Philly. Don't mind it in Baltimore. I guess you're asking me, I'd rather be in Philly every year, because even just walking in the hotel here tonight, we were just down along Radio Row here, down here in the convention center. There's just a feeling that Philly has that there wasn't in Baltimore, and definitely not in the Meadowlands, you know, so long ago.
There we go. Tony Marino, the sideline reporter for Army football, Army Navy tomorrow, the 119th matchup. Army has won two straight Commander-in-Chief trophies. We'll see if they can get it yet again. They're 9-2 on the year, having a phenomenal season. Navy's struggling, but as Tony mentioned, it's a rivalry, so he expects a close game. Tony, you did a wonderful job kind of painting a picture for us listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the time, and have a great time yet again at your 20th one.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Go Army, beat Navy.
There we go. Tony Marino, the sideline reporter for the Army Black Knights. We get ready for Army and Navy tomorrow. It's always a good time. And I know we have a lot of service members out there. We do it for cool and for a cause, and we hear from them. And I know just a game like this, it can just bring it out, whether it's family, individual, doesn't matter. This is a matchup everybody cares about and marks on the calendar to watch.
Yeah, and this is one, too, where you do want to tune in for all the pregame,
postgame,
get the whole experience, let it build, let them tell their stories, and they usually do a good job. I believe CBS still has it.
Yep,
telling the story, the history of it, great players from the past, not only you accomplished on the football field, but then their careers and where they may have ended up, and the heroism they performed during their military careers too. So, it's pretty amazing.
A couple of things very quickly. We got a spring line at 2:30, but I want to leave this segment with a couple of things. One, Jason Swigart has poured a cocktail, so he's ready for the weekend. That is officially kicked off as he's drinking it right now. And I want to know, where's your rooting interest in Army Navy? Are you go Army? Are you go Navy? 55305. Read some thoughts on that. And then I am being inundated with all of these text messages from my friends about the dumbest topic, but it's actually got me thinking about a lot of different scenarios here on where I would go. And I'll tell you what it is. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. All right, Kevin Todd going to join us coming up in 12 minutes. So get those Spragan Line sponsors in at 55305. I think the train is leaving the station, so to speak. Swigart walked in here during the break. He's a big fan of the city of Manhattan, if you catch my drift.
Absolutely.
Big fan. Big, big fan. This is our last show together for 2018.
It is.
So I should ask you, is 2019 going to be our last year? Are you going to leave this place after 130 years, or am I going to get fired? Which one?
I don't think so. Actually, you and I will be together the week of the 17th. It's actually Dirt.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm missing.
Yeah, Dirt's. Yeah, you're right.
It was supposed to be the last show for all three of us together.
Because I think I'm in that week. Dirt's out all week. I'm out on the Friday.
Yeah, Friday the 21st will be a special edition of Sinner and Saint.
Yeah, they're going to go from 12 to
3:30. 3:30, and then there's an early Ducks basketball game at 3:30.
That's right. Somebody asked about the TV ratings for the Army Navy game, just how it, how it compares. This was just last year. They got a 5.9 rating, and I know that number is probably pretty tough for some people out there if you don't follow the rating game, and that's fine. But just as a reference, it peaked at 6.5. They had a 5.9 average. Ohio State and Michigan drew a 6.2. So it's as popular for people as Ohio State.
For a regular
Michigan,
season game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not a bowl game.
It's not a bowl game. Season. It's not a conference championship game. It's not in prime time. Plus, it's, you know, kind of in the middle of holiday season. So, but the one thing that is, it is a standalone college foot. It's the only college football game other than FCS playoff games.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, your top Division I teams, it's the only game going on.
When I love the, first of all, I love the camaraderie of it. And then I also love the go Navy beat Army, go Army beat Navy. I love that back and forth. We're getting a lot of it in the text line. A lot of really good stories too of why you root for maybe Army versus why you root for Navy. Thank you to everybody that has served the country. We try to let you know that we appreciate you as much as possible. And I think the Army-Navy game is a great time for maybe families that are split to come together and root for their teams, or one household that's just all Army or all Navy to go out there and just get to watch a great football game. They've been close, too. Last year, they had a one-point win. They broke that streak 2 years ago, and Army's got a two-game streak going right now. They're the better team. But we'll see if Navy can show up. It means a lot, and we'll see how that goes. I did want to get to this very quickly because we're up against the clock.
What's
already.
Everybody buzzing your? Because there's enough of an age gap between the two of us that
this is one that hits all age gaps.
Really?
Yeah, all okay. age not gaps, but ages hits all ages. I don't really get a lot of text during the show. I like try to tell people don't text me from this time to that time. I don't want to be bothered by it. You know?
Unless there's a flat out emergency.
Cause Swigard, you are able to, you put your phone away from you, which I commend. I know you have it next to you today, but some days it's away from you. And
yeah,
I always keep mine just in case the wife needs something, an emergency or the school calls or something. So my friends are texting me, and I immediately text them. This was at the start of the show, so I'm like trying to focus in. We're going solo today. Swigard, you're teaming up with me. I'm like, hey, guys, can you leave me alone? And they didn't stop. They kept texting.
What is so urgent on a Friday that right. they can't leave you alone?
So I finally look at the conversation, and we're about 34 deep in text-wise. And it all started with the Christmas movie that's most popular that you hate the most. And yes, my friends really do play these dumb games, these random, out-of-nowhere games.
Okay, so now, are they at other jobs?
Yes.
So they're slacking off, basically.
Well,
making it look like they're busy on a Friday, yes. just counting down the time until they can go drink.
A lot of them do have very respectable careers, and they basically tell me, you know, Friday, because they don't think I have a real job, and I've told them I don't have a real job.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know what's funny is we really only work 4 days a week. You know, a lot of people everywhere on Fridays, you're like only half in on that day. You're ready to go. And so that's why they'll do this from time to time. So what started was one of my buddies, one of my best friends, he randomly tweeted a movie thing, and another friend responded and brought up Christmas movie. Said, oh, I'm about to go watch this Christmas movie tonight with my family. And he responded with, you know what movie I hate that everybody seems to love so much? I hate National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. He's just like, I hate Christmas Vacation. I hate that everybody thinks it's so funny. Everybody thinks it's so great. He says it's a dumb movie. And that just set off a chain of, one, destroying him for that opinion. And two, then people chiming in, you know what? Movie that everybody seems to like that I don't like is Home Alone. I hate Home Alone. I think it's stupid. I don't think it's funny. Another person said Elf. We had another random couple buddies text in and say, I don't like Christmas Vacation either. And I was just blown away. Never knew this information. I've been friends with them for 20 years.
Wow.
And I feel betrayed. I feel hurt.
How can you not think Cousin Eddie's not funny?
Well, one person pointed out that what's hurt that movie is Cousin Eddie is a little bit crazy now. Cousin Eddie is, if you follow him on Twitter, he's one of those let me tweet nothing but politic guys. And sometimes he goes a little off the railroad, so to speak. And so, yeah, I'm being just, I'm still getting them right now. They just text in. They continue to text in like the movie everybody likes that I don't like thing. And I haven't played this game with them yet. I don't know if I'm willing to jump in those waters because I was really thinking about famous Christmas movies that everybody seems to love that I don't like. And I really only think I have two, and I don't know how famous they really are in the Christmas realm. I don't like Christmas with the Cranks. Yeah, I know. It's not my cup of tea. I'm not going to go much further than that. I think Tim Allen's better movie is The Santa Claus. And then the other one that it's kind of like one of those ones that sneaks up on you. One of those Christmas movies. I think it's called, what is it? Is it Love Actually? Is that what it is? I think it's called Love Actually. Let me look. Hold on. Oh, no, The Holiday. No, it's Love Actually. Yeah, Love Actually. There we go. I saw the picture of it. So Love Actually is one of those, everybody loves it, and yeah, not really my cup of tea either. So I don't know why, but shout out to my friends for starting a conversation that's a bit ridiculous and just going way too long about movies they don't like that everybody else seems to love. I don't know. I don't even know if those movies I named even resonate with you. Maybe they don't. Maybe you don't think about Christmas with the Cranks and Tim Allen's attempt to make another Christmas movie paired with really the better movie combo with Dan Aykroyd and Jamie Lee Curtis was Trading Places. Much, much, much better. And for those of you that have seen Trading Places, you understand why I like it so much. One, it's got young Eddie Murphy paired with a really young and funny Dan Aykroyd. And two, it's got Jamie Lee Curtis. A young Jamie Lee Curtis and, yeah. But Christmas with the Cranks, no. I'm out. I'm out on Christmas with the Cranks. You're not getting me with that one. So no thanks. And by the way, somebody says, you have dumb friends. Yeah, you know what? That's exactly what I've been texting them. You guys are dumb. You're stupid. How can you not like Christmas
Vacation?
So
was there anybody ripping on like a serious like Miracle on 34th Street or anything like that?
No. We had other ones voted in there. We had Elf.
Yeah.
That one runs like 24 hours a day, it feels like.
But I mean, not...
I mentioned Home Alone.
Yeah, those are all comedies though.
Okay.
Like Miracle on 34th Street, Ebenezer Scrooge and the whole bit. Like any of the more...
No, Miracle... Oh... Yeah, because Miracle's not Ebenezer Scrooge. I know what you're talking about. You're thinking of Christmas Carol.
Yeah, Christmas Carol, Jimmy Stewart, all that stuff.
We haven't had It's a Wonderful Life or a Christmas Carol yet. But I have a feeling if I open this up, because I have two more texts that I haven't checked, somebody's going to be saying something stupid. I almost wonder if they're just saying it to be dumb. Like at this point, I'm just shrugging my shoulders. Meanwhile, I'm talking over here about Christmas movies, and Swigard's literally throwing a cocktail hour in the office.
That's right,
in the
happy hour
studio.
In here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names right now, but you know who you are sipping that cold beverage over there during work hours. I won't out you, but we're ready to have a good time for the weekend here at Intercom Portland. We got a lot of people texting in the movies. Yeah, see somebody just texting, Christmas Vacation is the most overrated Christmas movie of all time. If I never see it again, totally fine. Why? Why don't you like it?
You have a remote control. Just skip over it.
Christmas Story, that's a good one. Christmas Story is a good one. People don't like that one. That one airs 24 hours on TNT every Christmas Eve. I have to watch that like three times on Christmas Eve.
There's, 8,000 channels on your, remote box or your sling or whatever you're rolling with. Just, I don't understand why people get so offended.
Somebody said, Love Actually is fantastic. Oregon City has ruined you. I'm sorry, I don't like Love Actually. It's just one of those, I don't know, it doesn't click. It doesn't click. Okay, really good thoughts. I just looked at the text line. A lot of people texting in the movies they don't like that everybody else seems to love. We may get to that in the final segment, but coming up next, we got a Sprague in the line. We'll try to win some money, although it hasn't been gone very well for us lately. So we'll do that next with Kevin Todd. Sprague in the line is next. Breaking the line. Way off.
Yeah,
way,
you're off.
Way off. I missed it. I was on the phone with KT. I'm sorry. I was talking to KT, Kevin Todd, about some stuff.
Making
Can I
plans?
Redeem it? Can
Making
I redeem
plans?
It? Yeah, I was trying to make plans.
No,
let's
don't.
Redeem it. Come on. Let's do it. Jump in after me. Spriggin' the line.
Spriggin' the line.
Spriggin' the line. There we go. There we go. Spriggin' line brought to you by the Pac-12 presidents. Clearly, Sprague shares their ideal that being different is much more important than actually making money.
But I'm now the president of everybody.
On the other hand, maybe he just sucks at making picks. Spriggin' line brought to you by Lance Armstrong. Sprague's picks suck. But hey, Kevin Todd hasn't been that great either. Spriggin' line brought to you by the Red Ryder BB Gum. Take Sprague's advice, then shoot your eye out. Ouch. Where did we get that sounder? Spriggin' line brought to you by Christmas Movies. The only thing dumber than Sprague's picks are his dumb movie friends that hate Christmas Vacation. Thank you. Finally, something dumber than my picks. Spring Line brought to you by Larry Scott. He doesn't know what he's doing anymore than you guys do. I appreciate that. And Spring Line, at least he's smarter than everybody who doesn't like Christmas Vacation. You know what? Yes. Shout out everybody standing up for the Christmas Vacation crowd. I appreciate that. And now joining us on the Catlin Capital Hotline, Kevin Todd. How you doing, KT?
What's going on, fellas?
Well, not much, man. We're just we're trying to make some money together.
This year's been tough. Listen, like I told you guys before, what I did, like, was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
It's impossible to do that again. I'll give anyone 50-1 odds to pick. What do I pick? 51 games to hit 70%?
Yeah.
Never happened.
You know, the other thing I was talking about one time when you weren't on, I was mentioning, like, gambling and, you know, if you do X amount of games, like, I know you do more than 3 games in a weekend, but it's funny, sure. Like, if you choose the wrong 3, you could go 0-3 or 1-2, but if you choose 7 and you win the rest of them, your record's great, but people only know the 3 that you pick, so they think that's how.
Well, the games that I give out on the air are the games that I give to my clients, you know, those are my opinion. So those aren't the games that I get the information. And when it comes to sports wagering, believe it or not, less is more. So what I mean by that, the less games you bet, the more money you make, because the odds are against you. If you bet more than 10 games in a week, you're going to end up losing. So we pick and choose the games. You're lucky if you deal, when you deal with my service, you're lucky if you get 10 games a week. This week, we've only given out 2 games, and we split. We won on Monday, lost on Thursday. And we've only had 2 games this week. So when it comes to wagering, less is more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so we both went 1-2. I still have the lead over you. No traction was gained. I will let you start, though, since I'm hosting solo. Dirt is out today, so I'll let you start.
Well, I'm going to go right to college basketball tonight. It's being played at the Staples Center, New Mexico against St. Mary's. The line right now is 8.5. And let me tell you, New Mexico is not the same team when they play on the road. In fact, they're 4-11 against the spread their last 15 neutral site games. They're 8-21-1 their last 30 non-conference games. St. Mary's is 4-0 their last 4-1 against the spread the last 5 games on Friday, and they're 4-1 against the spread the last 5 games following an ATS loss. This line is very high. It's high for a reason. Lay the 8.5 tonight with St. Mary's against New Mexico.
Okay, going college basketball. I was a little surprised by that one. I thought you were going to do football this week, but you got some basketball in there. Swigart,
yeah,
by the way.
It's Christmas. It's the season.
That's true. Swigard, you are the play-by-play guy for the Pilots. Thumbs up or down on the St. Mary's bet? You like that or no?
I don't know enough about New Mexico. St. Mary's is not the same team they've been the last 3 or 4 years.
Right. But as you mentioned, though, New Mexico does struggle against the spread. Okay, I'm going to start in college football with the big Army-Navy game right now. That line is Army minus 6.5. Look, last year, Army won this game 14-13. The year before that, they won 21-17. And then before that, Navy won a bunch of games, including a lot of blowouts. I just think Army is having a dream season right now. They are 9-2 on the season. No snow, so the weather's going to be okay for them to move the ball. I think they're one of the top 30 offenses in college football this year. They almost won at Oklahoma, and Navy is not very good. I'm going to take Army minus the 6.5. I think they're going to run away with it at the end. I'll take Army to cover the 6.5 and win by a touchdown.
Well, I'm going to go into the NBA tonight. Miami travels to Phoenix. The line here is quite large for this Miami Heat team. They're laying 8 on the road to Phoenix. But last time I bet against Phoenix is when they played Sacramento at home. And if you watch that game, I think they were up 58-18 at one point. I love Miami in this spot. They're 4-1 against the spread their last 5 road games. The Phoenix 0-6 their last 6 overall. They're 0-4 the last 4 home games. They're 0-5 against the spread their last 5 games against teams with a losing record. I like Miami in this game. I think they win the game by double digits. Lay the 8 points with the Miami Heat tonight.
Yeah, Phoenix sucks. They were just in Portland. We saw how
they are so bad. Listen,
they're terrible.
They are definitely going to be 1-2 in the lottery getting picks next year.
Oh, they're going to be 1 because Devin Booker can't stay healthy. And if you don't have Devin Booker, I don't know who's going to score for them. So I might lay a couple bucks on that pick. I like that one. My second pick, I'm going to the NFL, And we got a team that's rolling right now. They're playing good defense. They're the number one rushing team in the NFL, and they're hosting Monday Night Football, and that's the Seattle Seahawks against Minnesota. Right now, that line is Seahawks -3. So Vegas thinks this one's going to be a really close ball game. Dirt mentioned it earlier. Minnesota has this interesting streak of win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. They just lost last week, so will they respond in Seattle? I say no. I like the Seahawks in this matchup. I'm going to buy a half point down, and I'm going to take Seahawks -2.5 to beat Minnesota.
Well, I'm going to go to the NFL, and this is pretty much do or die for this team, and I think they bounce back this week. I like Carolina on the road at Cleveland. Right now the line is -1.5. I know that Carolina has lost their last three or four games. Cam Newton has seven interceptions, but if this is the game that they're going to turn it around, try to make a run for the playoff, it has to start this Sunday in Cleveland. And, folks, this is still the Cleveland Browns, okay? They're 16-37-1 against the spread their last 54 overall. And when they play at home, they're 8-19 against the spread their last 27. This is a very low number. You're getting a lot of value here because of how Carolina has been playing so bad the last three, four games. If they had even gone .500, the spread would probably be 4, maybe 5. Give me Carolina here. A lot of value. Lay the 1.5 points.
Okay. Carolina 1.5. I like that one as well. And my final game, I'm going to go to somewhere where Tom Brady and the Patriots have really struggled. And this is a huge playoff game for the team that they are taking on. That's Miami Dolphins hosting New England. Right now, you can get this at New England -7.5. Look, I've told you how I feel about New England all year. I think they're good. It's hard to bet against Belichick and Brady. I get that. But I think Miami actually is a pretty decent defensive team. They're hosting this one. And as I mentioned in the past, New England has struggled in Miami for whatever reason. Right now, you can get the Dolphins at +7.5. And I'm going to take it. I think the Dolphins can lose, but I think they're going to cover the 7.5. So give me Miami +7.5. Those are my three
picks. Miami's been good at home this year. They're 5-1 at home. The only loss that they have at home is against Detroit, but Detroit right. caught them at a great time. If they would have played Detroit now, I think Miami would beat them. But yeah, I like Miami here in this matchup as well.
Yeah, so we'll see if we can go 6-0 collectively. We'll see what KT can do. We missed you last. What happened last weekend? How did you forget to call us?
I don't know. My kid was probably driving me crazy or something. Probably playing Fortnite.
Did you finally get Sprague's vodka? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I had a hangover from about a month ago when I was supposed to get it.
How was the vodka? Have you tried it yet?
I'm doing it this weekend, my man.
Oh, okay. So next week, we'll get you back on the horn, and we'll find out how you feel about Crater Lake Vodka.
Yeah, next week is bowl game week.
It is. It absolutely is. That's my last week, by the way, for the year. That's our last week.
Are you quitting?
No, I'm taking vacation.
Where are you going?
Staycation, bud. I don't got the money to go anywhere. What are you talking about?
Oh, you just get to sit at home and watch the kids?
You know, sadly, that's actually what it is going to be. And the way you just put that just is a sad realization of my vacation now.
Well, have fun watching the babies.
We can't all be Kevin Todd and travel the world. And
well, listen, I invited you guys. Don't sell me out this year.
I know. In Vegas, we'll try to meet up with you, all right?
Yes.
Okay.
I will speak with you guys next week.
Yep, absolutely. There we go. Kevin Todd. You can find him on Twitter. Yep, there we go. Kevin Todd, at Kevin Todd Sports on Twitter. His picks, St. Mary's 8.5, Miami Heat 8, which I like a lot, and then the Panthers -1.5. I got Army 6.5. Seattle, I bought a half point down, 2.5, and then I like the Dolphins to cover the 7.5 spread against the Pats.
There you go. St. Mary's at home is very different from St. Mary's on the road.
And this is on the road?
No, they're at home.
This is at home. Okay. All right. There we go. Sprague and Line brought to you by Prostate Exam from Shaquille O'Neal. The only thing that will cause a bigger pain in the butt than taking Sprague's advice. Boy, that one's brutal. Sprague and Line deserves as many excuses as Marcus Mariota. See what you did there. Sprague and Line, clearing out your bank account better than Dirt's 3-day leftover colon cleanse. Now, that poor guy. He's probably still hugging the toilet on the floor. All right, wrap it up. Get ready for the weekend next on The Fan. The weekend, partying, partying. Fist pumping your way into the weekend, and I want to start off this segment with one of these. Yeah, there we go, Satanic. Yes. We got some breaking news. We got a huge trade in the NBA. This one just came out from Sham Sharania and Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, I can't believe this happened. Brace yourselves because this one's a pretty big one. Milwaukee is finalizing a deal to send Matthew Dellavedova to Cleveland for George Hill. I can't believe it. That's the game-changing move. This is going to put Milwaukee over the top. They are now going to be winning the East with George Hill. There you go. That one was a pretty big bummer. Whenever you see a Woj bomb and it ends up being a bummer, I don't know. I know people love football far more than basketball. But man, when you see a Woj bomb, you're always hoping that it's something much more juicy than something like that. And that one wasn't. So we'll see what that means for Milwaukee. It looks like, too, Milwaukee sending Dellavedova, John Henson, and a first round. Wow. That's actually a lot more than I thought they would get for George Hill, but what the hell do I know? So Milwaukee is going all in on this season, I guess, giving up on John Henson. And who needs a first-round pick when you're that good? So that goes to Cleveland for Dellavedova. There we go. And, yeah, that was a Woj dud. Yes, yes, that is correct. That's a Woj dud. And somebody else said, you said Milwaukee, and I was like, holy S, the freak is being traded. I'm sorry. No, they're not gonna ever trade the freak. Greek Freak, I hope he stays in Milwaukee his whole career. I think the one thing the NBA needs to do a slightly better job, and this is nothing I think they can actually control. I love when players are able to stay in the markets they're drafted. Now, Greek Freak, for those who don't know, he actually loves Milwaukee. He bought a new home there. He's all in on the city. I just hope that lasts. I hope that they can build a contender for him.
Well, yeah, they got a nice new building in Milwaukee.
Thanks to the city, because they were basically threatened with losing their team, which, you know, that's the part that nobody talks about.
So you got, you have other sport. You got the Brewers there in the summer. They're going well. You got Marquette University. You're not, and the thing is, Milwaukee is not that far a drive from Chicago. If you want to go to a big city, it's not that far to go Chicago and take in whatever you want to take in.
Somebody said, I hate you for that. I know, I probably teed that up wrong, but what do you think I thought when I saw a Woj bomb? Milwaukee is trading. That's the first three words I read. Yeah. I'm like, oh, here we go. And then I kept reading, and I saw Dellavedova, and I go, oh, this is going to be nothing. But a first and John Ensign's a lot for George Hill. They must really think George Hill coming off the bench behind Bledsoe is going to mean a lot for them. But we'll see. So there's your NBA trade. You know, the weekend in sports is interesting. Some people are in on it, and other people kind of just shrug whatever.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Well, I think the NFL on Sunday has the potential to be great.
I don't know how you're not glued to your couch for Sunday. Sunday is one of those, if you have the lights up, the decorations are done. Yeah, last weekend was kind of your honey to-do list weekend, in my opinion. So I look at it and I say, NFL's great. You got 8 games that have playoff implications. If your decorations are taken care of, plant your ass on the couch and just dive into some NFL football. I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Yes, Saturday is the interesting day, but I don't know if you saw this. I tweeted this out.
Okay, I may have missed it.
Well, because there'll be a lot of college basketball on Saturday.
What's the big matchups we got? I'm not really all that in on
college
basketball.
Nobody's all in just yet.
But, like, I watched, Gonzaga UW. I saw the highlights.
Yeah,
from that
Washington
one.
Took him down to the wire.
That one was a good game.
Ruri Hachimura there to get the game-winning bucket. I'm trying to get to the schedule here for some college hoops on Saturday. We'll see.
I was kind of disappointed in you. I thought you knew these by heart the way you teed that up.
You've got Michigan State at Florida. That'll be early.
Is Florida good again?
They're not ranked yet.
Is Michigan State still good?
Yes.
They're always, I guess, good.
They're always good.
With him.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down here, seeing if we got anything.
Did you oracle this? Is there really no great games and you teed this up just because you're a college
guy? No, I teed it up for this.
Okay.
You will hear this music again.
Oh, for college basketball?
For college basketball, Fox College Basketball. cut a deal. You heard Tesh offered it up to ESPN and ABC for their primetime games.
He offered to give ESPN the primetime Saturday games that they'll start at the end of the year. He offered it to them, and they said, "Nah, we're good."
No, but so
Fox
then I guess
in.
Somebody talked to somebody, and Fox College Basketball will now use the John Tesh round ball rock or whatever he called it as their theme music.
We got Rob jumping in. Do you want to crosstalk? Remember when that was a thing? Did you like crosstalk, by the way? I remember there was one time we had a crosstalk opportunity as a night show, and somebody goes, "Hey, Sprague, you want to go crosstalk?" And I said, "No, I'm getting ready for the show. They don't need me." And somebody goes, "Oh, man, Sprague, you're disrespecting people here. You know why you're not on crosstalk anymore? Because you said no that one time." And I always thought, really? Like, that made people mad that I didn't crosstalk? I don't think anybody liked crosstalk, did they?
Is this on?
You're
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you're
Come
on.
You're hot. You're on.
Hi, Mom. You're saying that we denied crosstalk with you?
No.
What is happening?
So what was told to me years ago was that crosstalk was a thing at that point.
Yeah, Jeff liked crosstalk. He liked the new the show that was coming on to come in
yes.
and tell the other show and
what's
their listeners,
up.
"Hey, here's what's coming up, so stick around."
And I always felt like I knew how you felt about that. I never know Sukanik, but there was a time where...
Well, it was just more work for us.
Sure.
So we don't like that.
It's not easy work.
Yeah.
But somebody had asked, said, "Hey, do you want to go crosstalk?" And I remember just going, "Nah, I didn't really want to do it." And I was told in a meeting that was looked at as disrespectful, and that's why I was no longer asked to do it. And I always thought, really? That upset people?
No, I don't think anybody wanted to crosstalk. I don't think there was one person that wanted to do that.
No, I don't think anybody did.
It was always awkward because before you guys were middays, it was Travis and Josh.
Yeah, Travis and Wilcox.
And I tell you what, that show, holy hell.
It's interesting.
So I had to crosstalk with those guys.
Yeah.
And, you know. And it was no good for anybody.
Can I also say this before I sign off for the weekend?
And I love those guys, but I mean, come
right,
on.
Right. I've always liked your idea, and I wish we would execute it next year since we didn't do it this year.
What?
I've always wanted to take a hat and put all our show hosts in.
Yes.
And then draw names and
and
co-host with each other during the vacation period.
Well, we have enough hosts now. We can do that. But, you know, that's kind of what happens. Beginning next week when people are starting to take vacations and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
Dirt's out all week next week.
Yeah, so is Sook.
Or no.
Sook's out till next year.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so you're going to hear a lot of different combos. Maybe I'll invite you in. You want to do the afternoon show one day with me? Let's party. Come on. You can
double
do
duty?
Yeah, see, exactly. This is why this is the problem. It's like I could call Buck and say, "Hey, Buck, come on in the afternoon." He'd be like, "What? I already worked
He's
this
like,
morning.
I got up at 4 this
He's
morning.
He's like, I'm going what to bed right now. It's 5
you.
O'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. So hey. Where's Dirt? Did he throw up?
Yeah, he yacked.
Should
everywhere.
I disinfect this over here?
I would. Yeah. I would tell Sukanik to disinfect. He told me yesterday. He goes,
"Hey,
man,
there's some wipes there behind the easel. You might want to."
I hope you thank me. And I said, "For what?" He goes, "I've held my fart ins all show. I have a stomach bug." I go, "What?"
Oh God.
And then he texted me and said, "Yeah, I yacked everywhere." So it's time for your show. What's coming up?
I don't know.
Okay, great.
See, it's a horrible question.
It is.
I don't know.
It is a horrible thing.
We're gonna try
yeah.
to make something happen. I can't promise anything. It's Friday. Sook's already drinking.
I know he
yeah,
he teed up
you
a Manhattan.
Want a Manhattan?
Yeah,
I brought
sure.
stuff in.
It's that time of year.
Yeah,
it's
ready.
Friday randoms all day today.
Can I say one more thing and I'll sign off,
please?
I actually like your hair like this. Not that you care what I think.
Stop hitting on me.
I like it. It looks better.
Thank you.
You're a little disheveled, but it's organized.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Well, it's hard to organize this. I'm growing it out.
I like it.
For the ladies.
Grow the bangs out real long.
And the guys like you. Apparently.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
Me, you,
Bye,
Alex
Swagger.
Smith in a bed. Let's go.
Now, Swag. Whoa. Swag. Yeah. Oh, you heard yesterday's show.
I
like
that,
Alex
yeah.
Smith. Sook's an idiot. Now, Swigard, are you leaving?
I'm off all next week.
Okay.
And I'll be back the week of the 17th.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, primetime next. I'm off. Goodbye. Have a good weekend.